It's a journey to the mountaintop of pop culture, a celebration for geeks everywhere. Comic-Con is upon us in New York City. A long weekend. It's jam-packed with panels and tributes to comic books, anime, movies, and of course TV shows. Our geek-in-chief is culture reporter Melissa Locker, and she was on the scene during the first day. She chatted up with uber fans at Comic-Con, paying homage to their favorite characters.
I am Stealth.
Corpse Bride.
Undyne from Undertale.
I'm Akase.
I'm Yuno.
TARDIS from Doctor Who.
Melissa came in to talk to John Hockenberry about what panels are worth checking out at Comic-Con this year.
There is so much. The second that you walk into the Javits Center, which is the convention center where Comic-Con is held in New York, it is just this crowd of people wearing the most amazing costumes. On Thursday, when I was there, they were hosting their Doctor Who panel, which had some of the original characters, some of the most beloved doctors and companions. I saw an amazing woman dressed as the woman in the fireplace, which is a kind of obscure Doctor Who character. There were so many women dressed as the TARDIS. I saw little tiny kids dressed as Doctor Who. It was very much a Doctor Who fan show.
And that's a BBC property, but what about U.S. TV properties?
Walking Dead, they're going to be having a big panel coming up. The show ended on a series cliffhanger, and I think nobody knows what's going to happen next. And everybody is kind of on the edge of their seat to see what's going to go on.
And Wonder Woman turns 75. She doesn't look it.
I know. She's aged really well. It's the lasso of truth just keeps her young. She, you know, had a small part in the Batman versus Superman movie, and she kind of saved both of their behinds. And she's about to make her big push into the silver screen herself. And so they're doing a bunch of panels to kind of look back on her career. There was a lot of Wonder Woman fan art and comic books, and not as many people as you would think dressed as Wonder Woman, but maybe that'll happen tomorrow.
The Batman moment this year involves something that I know very, very well because I'm so old, and that's the TV show. Adam West, Julie Newmar, right?
Mm-hmm. All of those people are going to actually be at Comic-Con to announce the new series and to sort of take you behind the scenes of the original show. And, I mean, Julie Newmar is just an absolute legend. And Adam West is too, sure.
What in Comic-Con is serious, did you find?
Well, I think there's actually a fair amount of serious topics. I think that the comic industry is starting to recognize that the world is becoming a more inclusive place, and they're trying to recognize that and reflect that in comic books and TV shows. So, like, Ta-Nehisi Coates took over Black Panther and has just kind of reclaimed that character as this incredibly powerful force for good. He's going to be talking to Steve Orlando about his kind of LGBTQ-friendly comic books as well. Two issues that just don't come up in comic books that often, which are race and gender.
Nostalgia is always big at Comic-Con. Before we go, aside from, you know, Adam West and Julie Newmar, what nostalgia can we look forward to?
This year, not only do you see Labyrinth, a lot of people dressed as Labyrinth characters, a lot of Labyrinth t-shirts. There's a panel on 80s movies, which I think is pretty funny to think that all these, you know, Comic-Con grown-ups are bringing their kids to introduce them to the wonders of the 80s.
You mean like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, those movies?
Yeah, Amy Heckerling and Martha Coolidge are going to be on a panel talking about like Brat Pack movies. And these are two female directors. No one quite compares to John Hughes, but they are definitely up there in the canon. And I think they're finally stepping into the spotlight.
Marvel dominates, but does DC Comics get their moment in the sun?
Yeah, I think DC Comics is always trying to kind of fight against the big guy. But one thing that they're trying to do is to appeal to a younger audience. So they gave My Chemical Romance's Gerard Way his own comic book and kind of let him do whatever the heck he wants. And that's going to be unveiled at Comic-Con this year.
Wouldn't it be great if they came to you and did the same thing?
Yeah, it would be kind of a weird mashup of like Stranger Things, but just the Eggo Waffle and My Little Pony and Doctor Who and I don't even know who else.
I'll think about that all week long. Melissa Locker, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So while Melissa Locker was inside the convention hall at Comic-Con, Takeaway producer Isabel Angel was outside talking to people about cosplay. Now, don't call it dress-up. Cosplay is a signature part of convention culture, where diehard fans try to become their favorite characters from the movies or a comic book. They often spend hours creating elaborate costumes. The more realistic, the better. But even in the world of geeks, acceptance has come late to some people.
My name's Tanisha. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm cosplaying as a rebel pilot from Star Wars The Force Awakens, specifically Poe Dameron. I've made a helmet and everything.
I'm Poe Dameron.
Good to meet you, Poe.
Good to meet you too, Finn.
My name is Tony. I'm cosplaying as Saitama, the One Punch Man.
My name is Alana.
My name is Christina.
I am cosplaying as Naruto Uzumaki.
And I'm cosplaying as Sasuke Uchiha.
I'm cosplaying as Wonder Woman.
And I'm cosplaying as Storm from X-Men.
Grim Dark Jade Harley, but it's from a webcomic called Homestuck.
Cosplaying is almost like acting. You're trying to portray a character that you're familiar with or interested in or you like.
It's really fun to really actually get into the character that they're in, but also be yourself. Like, you can switch on and off.
It feels really powerful. It feels like I'm drawing from the essence of Wonder Woman.
I've always wanted to be a pilot. I figured I could cosplay as something that I'm not in real life and, you know, have a good time doing it.
I get to be who I always want to be. Whether it's Static Shock or Green Lantern, and it feels good.
It makes me feel a lot more confident than my normal self because it makes me go a lot more outgoing.
The cosplay community is very unique.
People are very creative in this community and they show that with what they wear and how they act.
There's a big range of cosplayers. There's always something for everybody. Everybody's always into something and it's always fun to share what you like with other people.
It is amazing. I actually have friends from other cons that I still am in touch with. I have friends from, like, across the country because of cons. It's, like, amazing.
It's not a trend. It's not a fad. It's something you do or you don't.
My name is Hilton George. I am from Washington, D.C. I'm a cosplayer and a con organizer for BlurredCon, which is the term for black nerd. I have a kind of a corporate job, and there's not a whole lot of people in my world, my regular community, who really understand my geekdom. So this gives me a great outlet without having my parents call the paddy wagon on me or my neighbors calling the cops when I'm out playing around with my costumes and stuff.
Give me some Deadpool.
Well, I like to give ladies crisp high fives because they're so enthusiastic. I go from there and I just get to make all kinds of friends, most of them ladies. Guys, not interested. Hi, Tina, how you doing?
Hey, Hilton. Hello, my name is Viva Valentina. I go by Tina. I'm a cosplayer from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm dressed as Psylocke from the X-Men. I'm half Filipino and half white. And growing up, you know, I've kind of had that mixed kid displacement and not really knowing where I belong. And in cosplay, it really allowed me to build my own wolf pack. But then also, there's those people that want to rain on people's parade. There are many, many times I've seen people body shame other people. And the number one rule about cosplay is you can cosplay whatever you want, regardless of your age, race, body type, you know, physical capability. And, you know, if you're trying to tell someone like, oh, you know, you're too fat to cosplay this character, your boobs aren't big enough to cosplay this character, there's no room for that.
Sometimes people want to draw these artificial lines and say, oh, because you're black, you cannot play a character that is overtly or openly white. For instance, a character which, like this, Deadpool, I kind of get a pass because you can't really see, you know, my race, and so it doesn't really play into this particular one. But if I wanted to be Superman, or if I wanted to be Aquaman, or if I wanted to play a character that is, you know, known to be a non-black character, there are some in the community who feel that, you know, you have to be so accurate and it's somehow doing a disservice to the character if you're not playing someone that you either look like or shape like or size like.
Nowadays, I feel like the community has come together to speak out against those microaggressions and those phrases that really alienate other people in cosplay, and that's just been really encouraging and to see that we're not okay with racism or sexism in the cosplay community and there's no place for it, and it's getting better.
I think that cosplay and geekdom in general has been forced to be more accepting simply because it's growing so fast. If you have apprehensions or if you feel a certain way, you can only do that for so long before you look around and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to have fun and stop being mad about nothing. And I think that's what's going to continue to happen until eventually everybody's going to be cool with everybody. We were talking about BlurredCon, which is for LGBTQ, people of color, underrepresented populations. And that's because there has been such a burgeoning of the black nerd experience, which you've probably heard of the geek experience, of the cosplay community. And I think it's going to be something we see more and more and more of.
As for more representation in comics, I mean, Iron Man is a black woman now.
the Hulk is Asian. Johnny Storm was a black man. Things are changing, and I think as a culture and as society in general, not just geek society, we are getting more comfortable in changing up those race roles, and it's for the better. I love it.
Are you waiting to see a half Filipino, half white superhero out there?
All for it. Make Zatanna Filipino.
That was Hilton George and Viva Valentina talking with Takeaway producer Isabel Angel at Comic-Con in New York. Their convention, called BlurredCon, is a convention specifically for underrepresented groups, and it's happening next summer in Washington, D.C.